How much should you drop Eric Ebron on your draft board? What will Brandon Marshall's numbers look like after the season? And is best player available an antiquated strategy in fantasy football? Plus, 2015 FFPC $10,000 winner and the fantasy football mastermind himself, Michael Nazarek, drops by to talk about grabbing two tight ends early in your football guys' draft. And Jay Berg from ProtoBlock answers your emails and tells you how you can win a free FFPC main event team this year. We've got a great show for you. Dave Gerzak is here. I'm Eric Balkman. Stick around. Your high-stakes fantasy football hour starts now.
Broadcast live and heard around the world, you are now listening to the most entertaining hour of radio on the planet. It's the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com with your hosts Eric Balkman and Dave Gerzak. The High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour is your home for football analysis from the best fantasy players in the world. And now, because no one else was available, here are Eric Balkman and Dave Gerzak.
We run a brand with a structure, the number one commitment. It's all a joke between Monk and Drax and the carbon fitted. So we disappear in the smoke like we're fucking magicians. No hope
to stop. Thanks a lot, Rob. Greetings and salutations, all you Balkaholics and Gerzakanatics. Welcome to the latest episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com. I'm your slightly above average host, Eric Balkman, and my co-host is the patron saint of fantasy football. He is the Dizzle. He is Dave Gerzak. Coming up on tonight's show, should you be eliminating Ezekiel Elliott off your draft board, huh? And we'll give our thoughts on who this year's Devontae Freeman is. Plus, from FFMastermind.com, Michael Nazarek will join us to discuss his five-figure payday in the FFPC last year. And ProtoBlock's Jay Berg will answer your emails, tell you how you can win a 2016 FFPC main event entry. And I think some more fireworks as well as we get into a discussion with Jay. It's going to be fantastic. And Dave, another great show coming up on our last few shows before you and I leave for Las Vegas.
Yes. Very excited.
Very exciting. We have our show this week. We have our Kentucky preview show next Friday. And then we, of course, broadcast live from the Horseshoe in right outside of Louisville, Kentucky, the following week. And then that's it.
Yeah.
And then you are on your own, people. You no more advice from these local yokels up here in Northeast Wisconsin.
No, we'll help you out in season. Just ask Two-Packer how well that goes. It's great.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the living legend is really attributed to the advice that we dispense on this show.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
So that intro song, that was new?
New to you, yes.
See,
it played last week.
Okay. So it's really, you know, it's okay. It's not a bad song, but it's like, you know, y'all excited, and then, you know, you say it starts now, and then, like,
that
20
is a,
seconds later.
That is a Blog Talk Radio thing.
It actually starts. I know it's not you.
It's annoying.
It's not even Bryce.
I'm trying.
Rob, it's not your fault.
I'll tell you what. It might be Rob's fault. I know it's not Bryce. It could be Rob. But yeah, it's annoying. It's one of the things we deal with, and it's
like
why you don't hear a whole lot of production on the show. You just don't.
Starts now.
Yeah.
Here's this badass song in 20 seconds.
Well, you know what's great about that? The major outlet that is going to be streaming this show coming up, I don't know when exactly, should be shortly.
It's a fantasy.
You won't hear that because yours truly and Bryce end up. And Rob, to a certain extent, we mix that up so you don't actually hear that.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, it's very cool.
It's kind of like photoshopping the show, Balky.
In a way, it's audio shopping it,
as
it were.
Looks a lot better.
Yes, and sounds better. Shout out to the chat room right now. Got a lot of cool people in there right now. Feel free to post any questions you might have in there. If you want to connect with us on Twitter, you can do so at HSFFHour, at Eric Balkman, at David Gerzak. You can also connect with Michael Nazarek on Twitter, at FFMastermind. Jay Berg is on Twitter at JBNY, and of course, ProtoBlock on Twitter at ProtoBlock. You want to chime in with talk to us tonight? Give us a call at 347-426-3682. That's 347-GAME-OVA. And, of course, facebook.com/thehighstakesfantasyfootballhour is where you can get in touch with us there. You can check out previous draft boards. If you like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Rob and I are always putting out our Football Guys Players Championship draft board that we covered live on the show last week. And then, of course, the Pros versus Joe's drafts. You can check out there as well. Highstakesfantasyfootball@gmail.com is the inbox. Producer, mutual friend Rob, audio engineer Bryce, getting those questions to us in the fantasy feedback segment with Jay Berg later on in the show.
Jay's going to be our helper?
Yeah, Jay's going to help us answer some emails, and he's going to tell everybody how they can win a free seat in the FFPC main event this year.
Yeah, this whole protoblock concept's interesting.
It is interesting. He's going to tell us about it in the second half of the show. Hey,
kind of a cool name.
Big weekend, yes. Big weekend for the FFPC, because if you get your balance paid off for your main event team, if you purchase a main event team by Monday, Pacific time midnight, you're going to know where you're drafting in Vegas coming up on Wednesday, which is very cool. That is, depending upon where you're drafting, it could be as much as 2 weeks ahead of time. If you're drafting on the 2nd, you'll know 2 weeks ahead of time. If you're drafting after that, 3 weeks ahead of time. So it's very cool. Remember, you already have a team, thinking about getting another one? $250 off the normal price, $1,500 for each additional team in the FFPC main event. If you want to play anything else, hey, we got you covered there too. MyFFPC.com, your home for season-long fantasy football, satellite leagues, superflex leagues, dynasty startups, Football Guys Players Championship. There's two left. There's a 250 and there's a 1250 available right now. One has 8 spots left, one has 9. Fill them up. The startup drafts are August 20th at 10 a.m., I believe.
The 250 is on the 6th.
Look at that. Probably the FFPC email that went out today had a huge impact.
Who's the author of that?
I don't know. I just know he's really intelligent and handsome. So there you go.
Yeah.
A little bit of a curveball at the start of the show, Dave.
Uh-oh, what's up? What's the problem?
Not on your rundown. I'm listening to the Football Guys Audible on the way over here.
I'm supposed to know what to say.
Yeah, it's somebody we've talked about before. Listen to the Football Guys Audible last night. Great podcast. Highly recommend it. Last night it was Sigmund Bloom, Matt Waldman, of course, Matt Harmon from Football Guys and the NFL. He's the reception perception guy, you know?
Sure.
Okay. Talking about Michael Thomas, the rookie receiver from New Orleans, who actually had a pretty good game last night. I saw a few of his highlights.
Yep.
Very athletic, acrobatic, looked good.
Acrobatic?
Yeah, acrobatic.
You know, Balky, I was watching women's gymnastics. Michael Thomas is not acrobatic.
Yes. Okay. Relatively speaking, they were acrobatic.
Routines. Those young ladies are amazing.
You know, I heard.
And the taut muscles on those young guys are something else.
Who's the woman who won Simone Biles? Is that, I get it. Yeah, Simone Biles. Is that her name? Biles? Whoever it is. I guess she did something in the floor routine.
Biles.
She never, it's never been done before, and it's named after her. And she crushed it.
She is truly amazing. I mean, yeah. But you watch it, and it's just awesome to see. I mean, just. Okay, anyway.
I actually watched a little bit of it. But
slightly less acrobatic, Michael Thomas.
Michael Thomas,
him,
yeah. Okay. So he looked all right. So the guys were talking on the show last night on Football Guys about Michael Thomas, and Matt Harmon said, and Matt Harmon, way smarter than me, very intelligent guy, knows what he's talking about.
Here comes the rub. Here's the insult.
He said that he was actually on board with Michael Thomas this year. There were a lot of mouths to feed in that New Orleans offense. But he's on board with them because you're only sinking like a 9th-round pick in drafting him this year. So you can afford to take a bit of a risk with him. Now, the problem I have with that is, and I'm going to actually pose this question to you.
Let me turn my phone off here quick.
Can you afford to be risky with a 9th-round pick for receivers?
Yeah, 9th-round pick's not that late.
I mean, I feel like you need to have 4 really good receivers to be successful. And I know that there's outliers, and some teams have won a lot of money with only 2 good receivers. I feel like you need to be 4 deep at receiver in the FFPC. You just have to.
It helps. It definitely helps. I mean, you don't have to be. If you have 4 awesome running backs, you can start 2 receivers. But you have flex, you know, the flex issues, the bye weeks. Yeah, you definitely need to be deep at receiver. And I think the 9th round for Thomas, even if he's looking good in preseason, that's fine. But that's early for a rookie receiver unless he's just been blowing it up.
Matt Waldman actually made
a good point. I get Corey Coleman's probably going even a couple rounds sooner. So.
Matt Waldman made a good point, too, about the whole mouths to feed argument he brought up.
I hate that cliche, by the way.
The Peyton Manning.
You can keep saying that a lot. Colts, you're irritating me.
Okay. The Colts, Peyton Manning, the Broncos, Peyton Manning had all these guys and somehow they all got fed. The Tom Brady Patriots, the majority of them got fed. Brandon Lloyd didn't that one year. Remember, that was the Wes Welker, Aaron Hernandez, Rob Gronkowski, Brandon Lloyd, the year where all four of them be drafted super high. And you and I talked about this on the show.
Yes, I remember. And we said that for sure one of these picks is wrong. And it always is.
And it was. It was Brandon Lloyd was the whiff
which
that
one
year.
Which is the pick that sucks.
Right, exactly.
I think that's going to be that way with the Cardinals this year. One of those three picks, one of those receivers is going to bust.
I agree. Let's talk about another sucky pick right now in drafts.
All right, I like it.
Ladarius Green.
Wow, nefarious Ladarius.
Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com with a quasi-hot take of Ladarius Green could retire. He could retire, Dave.
Wow.
This is updating a previous report from Florio. Ladarius Green, because of concussions, may be considering retirement if his recurring headaches persist. There's also speculation that the Steelers might even cut Ladarius Green. That would leave Jesse James and Xavier Grimble as the Steelers' tight ends that would be stepping in for Ladarius Green. Jesse James a little bit more versatile than Grimble.
Yeah.
James.
As we've established, the much cooler name.
Oh, Jesse James?
Yeah, it's one of the coolest names in the NFL. Jesse James is just awesome.
That is very cool. Your thoughts on Ladarius Green, a guy who is going in the seventh round of FFPC drafts right now.
He's not anymore.
No, he's not. No, not because when this came out, he totally dropped.
Now he's like 12th,
13th. This is semi-breaking, so. Your thoughts on where you would take him in a draft right now. Is he off your board? Is this a guy that you wouldn't even take as a third tight end in the 19th round if he's out there?
I would take him there, like 15th round.
Okay.
Like 15th or later.
Would you
take Jesse James ahead of Ladarius Green right now.
Okay, so that's interesting.
Yeah.
That you would. Now, let's talk about Jesse James.
It could be an overreaction. I mean, but it's a legitimate article. It makes sense. Go ahead.
Let me bring up a wider philosophical question here. That's bigger than Ladarius Green. It's bigger than Jesse James. What about the Steelers' offense now? It sounded so awesome in the offseason. They got Brown and Bryant and Coates and Wheaton and Bell and Green. And
We were not talking about Coates until Bryant got.
Okay, that's fair. But, okay, so take Coates out. That's still a lot of guys.
Right.
Now you're looking at Bryant, Wheaton, and Coates. Le'Veon Bell may be suspended for the first month. May not be. Who knows?
Well, I'll say one thing. You cannot bump Antonio Brown up.
I was just, I thought about putting a tweet and I couldn't think of something witty enough, but I was like, if there's an ADP higher than 101, Antonio Brown would be drafted higher than that right now.
He's patient zero.
Right, exactly. I think that, at what point does this start becoming bad for Antonio Brown? That
I think it's fine.
With all the attention can be focused on Brown at this point.
It's better in offense. It's fine. Wheaton doesn't totally suck. Wheaton kind of sucks for fantasy. Coates will probably be decent. Jesse James will be all right. I know they'll be double covering Brown, but, Big Ben will just keep throwing to him. I mean, he's probably not going to get the same production as last year just because of regression to the mean. He's great, but, so you can't expect quite those numbers. But, all right, let me say something about Ladarius Green.
Okay.
I feel really bad for this guy.
Yeah, I do too.
And the reason why, let's just say this, he had to retire. So over his earnings of his life, he's earned $2.5 million. He got paid for all of his stuff in San Diego. He's this breakup player. He gets a four-year, $20 million contract with Pittsburgh. Great contract.
$4.75 million signing bonus.
Yeah, big signing bonus. But, if he doesn't make the team or if he retires, I believe, and I could be wrong, that there's an injury settlement and he has to return that whole bonus because he's ready to play for
him. The Steelers could go after that.
So that sucks. The $2.5 million, most that people are like, oh, that's still a lot of money. Well, 40% of that went to the government. It pays the agent 10%. He probably pissed away some on jewelry and cars and chicks or whatever.
Well, I don't know about that, but
and so then he's probably, this is tough for him. I hope he, good luck to the guy.
We as long as we're talking about Steelers tight ends, I think we need to talk about the potential suspension that Jesse James could be facing from the NFL.
For what?
Well, think about all those banks he robbed and all those trains that he hijacked out west. I think this is something that Goodell is going to have to look at. You can't just brush this under the rug. This was a serious thing. So, keep an eye on that. Buyer beware on Jesse James.
Well, especially what if he's playing the game and someone shoots him on sight? That's all, in the wanted posters, that's permitted.
See, now I think that, that'd be all right then. And then so Xavier Grimble, your handcuff for Jesse James, could be assassinated on the field. Eric Ebron, not going to be assassinated on the field, but he is expected to sit
if
tonight's
he gets
game.
On the field.
This is Kyle Meinke from MLive.com saying that Ebron expected to sit out the game tonight against the Steelers. Eric Ebron has not practiced since he suffered this lower leg injury, ankle, Achilles, we don't really know what it is, in a mock game on Saturday. He is being drafted at the 809 in Football Guys drafts right now. Should be ready for week one. Dave, you might not see him in the preseason. Might not see him until week one. That could be your first look at Eric Ebron this year. How comfortable would you be taking him? I'm assuming probably in the late ninth now, because he will drop. And he has dropped.
Yeah, if I feel like I'm getting value and the news is still kind of like we're just being cautious with him, I think I'd be okay with taking him. I'd still be fine with it.
Okay. Fair enough. Let's move on and talk about Chris Ivory and TJ Yeldon. They shared the backfield in last night's game.
How'd they do it, Bulky? Tell me all about it.
I'll tell you right now. They both had three carries. They both had one catch.
Interesting.
No, excuse me. That was the first drive. On the second drive, they each had a carry. And then Ivory got two more from the one-yard line. So it sounds like he's getting goal line. He got the second one in for a touchdown. TJ Yeldon obviously looks like the better pass catcher. ADP-wise, Ivory 8-12. Yeldon 904. Which one are you drafting? Because they're basically drafted at the same point.
If I had to choose, I would take Ivory. I just think he's a better NFL player. I think I've said that in the past. I just don't like Yeldon. I'm not taking Yeldon anymore.
Okay.
I refuse to take Yeldon unless it's like the 12th round and people are just – unless there's like 11 other Gerzaks in the draft, then eventually this Gerzak takes him.
Okay. So you're pretty confident in Chris Ivory outscoring TJ Yeldon this year? FFPC's points?
$5 worth, yeah.
All right, I got five on TJ Yeldon outscoring Chris Ivory this season.
I have five on the better football player, Chris Ivory, outscoring TJ the ultimate bust, Yeldon.
Contradictory statements, my friend, but I'll let it fly.
It's contradictory.
He's not the better football player.
Yeah, right.
All right, I got five. Okay.
Busta.
Henry Muda in the chat room right now saying he just took Eric Ebron at the 8-9 15 minutes ago.
See, so apparently Bulk, you are not, tight on that ADP, baby.
But I thought he dropped. I thought he's dropped. Apparently he hasn't dropped. We have Mike Nazarick from FF Mastermind coming up in just a little bit. One other thing I wanted to bring up before we get to Mike. Cowboys apparently being a little bit cautious with Ezekiel Elliott. ESPN's Stephania Bell spoke with Jason Garrett about Elliott's hamstring. Garrett said the team is doing, quote, what we do with all soft tissue injuries, keep something that might only require a week or so to get better from turning into an injury that lasts 4 weeks or longer. Bell also said that another Cowboys player told her that Elliott would, in fact, be playing if this were the regular season right now. Sounds like just being extra cautious with the guy that is going to drive this offense, or at least the ground game portion of the offense this year. I don't think we need to wipe Elliott off our draft boards, even if we don't see him for a while. Would you still be comfortable taking him at the, what is it, the 111 as his ADP right now? 111. Would you still be comfortable with
that? I'd feel comfortable taking him at the spot I was going to take him before.
Which is?
Probably a little bit later than that.
Okay. So you take him in the early second?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. You know, I'm not, I think, you know, I've said this before. I don't think, I'm not a big fan of the Cowboys in general. I think they're not, I think somebody's going to get hurt. The offense is going to be bad. Romo's probably going to get hurt. He'll play like 10 games at best. I don't think the team's all that good. And I think Elliott, this is just a kind of a Rotovizian type thing.
Mm-hmm.
I just think there's, when you look at the possibility of running backs busting and given where you're taking him, it's just not really a shrewd play to take him
right.
at that spot. It's
okay.
Just, you're really fighting the odds a little bit because there's maybe like a 40%, 35% chance that he just has a, he doesn't even come close to returning that value. And he has maybe a 10% chance or 20% chance of being like a top two back. And he's got a chance. Don't
he does.
Get me wrong. He
definitely
does.
I'll say this.
His little injury here doesn't help at all.
Taking a closer look at these Football Guys drafts I'm commissioning, which, by the way, a correction, Henry Muto took him at the 9-8, not the 8-9. I can't read. So Henry Muto, 9-8. So actually, I was right.
So there you go.
Drop around. Yeah.
One more quick thing about Elliott. I do not consider him to be like a transcendent talent like Todd Gurley or Adrian Peterson or LT or one of those guys.
Okay. I get that. That makes sense. I can get on board. Aunt Jemima checking in from the chat room says that Alfred Morris is going to be the steal of the draft this year. He doesn't think Elliott's going to stay on the field, and he doesn't think McFadden's going to get on the field.
Well, Jemima's smart. He's a smart dude,
He's a smart guy. He's won a lot of money. I'll say this. Well, last thing before we get to Mike Nazarick. I was taking a closer look at these. I know, it's terrible.
Mike's going to get a little pissy at you.
Well, that's, hey, makes
can
for
we,
good
can
radio.
Pissy on Blog Talk?
You just said it twice, so I guess so. Taking a closer look at these Football Guys drafts and FFPC drafts. I'm taking a look at the teams I like best when I'm seeing them draft.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you right now, as crazy as it sounds, and I'm not going to sound contrarian at all, the teams I like best, and this is just me, the teams I like best are the teams that are waiting on running back as long as possible.
Oh, no kidding. Really? That's weird that you would think the most obvious thing that you would always
I don't think it's obvious.
You always say that.
Wait, listen, I'll tell you this right now. We have an email coming up later in the show that I think you're going to be pretty surprised about, and it goes right into this topic. Before we get to that, we have to get to Mike Nazarek, but we have to get to a break
first. I can't wait to get to Mike Nazarek.
Coming up after this, the Fantasy Football Mastermind won $10,000 in the FFPC last year. It's Michael Nazarek. It's the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour. We'll be right back. The HSFF Hour is back. I am Eric Balkman. He is Dave Gerzak, the Dizzle, the patron saint of fantasy football. And now we're going to bring in the mastermind of fantasy football because he is the CEO and president of Fantasy Football Mastermind, ffmastermind.com. 29 years of fantasy experience, including 25 fantasy championships in 10 different leagues. Longtime member of the Pro Football Writers of America. Other than directing one of the longest-running fantasy football information websites since 1996, his primary claim to fame is the fact that he won the Sports Illustrated Experts League title for four consecutive seasons from 2004 to 2007. And I think they just got sick of him winning because that was the last year they ran it. So he was the only...
They kicked him out or they stopped him?
They stopped the league.
What a joke.
He's the only guy to ever win that league, and he did it four times in a row. He's been a contributing author for many fantasy football magazines, including Fantasy Football Pro Forecast, Power Ranking System, Fantasy Football Report, and Fantasy Football Draft Book, as well as a periodic columnist for SI.com's Fantasy Central feature for five seasons. Please welcome in from FFMastermind.com. You can follow him on Twitter at FFMastermind. Mr. Michael Nazarek rejoining the show. Mike, what is up, man?
Well, thank you very much for that great introduction. Oh, my gosh. I'm sure if I can live up to all that, but I'm very happy to be here, guys.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, it's awesome that you're on. Obviously, everybody knows what you do for a living here on the show, running the FF Mastermind site. I'm really really glad to see that you have the cool podcast coming out. I think you're coming up on episode 4 this upcoming Tuesday. So very cool that you got that going again. Everything, you're already in mid-season form, and we're still in early August, so it's awesome to see that. Mike, let's talk about last year because it was a banner year for you in
this
the Fantasy Football Players Championship.
You don't have to ask him what he does for a living.
Right, I know, yeah. You had two main event entries last year, and you turned those two main event entries into $10,000 in prizes. Actually, a bit of trivia, the guy that Mike beat out in the championship game of his Castlevania main event league was John Shaw, who we had on this show 2 weeks ago. So it's a Castlevania-type thing that we got going on because now we have the Castlevania champion.
I enjoy those league names.
Mike, tell us what really went right for you in 2015, and what decisions did you really nail to lock down all that cash?
Well, I tell you, it was very interesting. In one of the leagues, we managed to pick up Devonta Freeman in the middle of the rounds. He might have been our number four, and he had kind of offset the early quote mispick of C.J. Anderson. So it was very easy, after Devonta started going off, to just plug him in instead of Anderson. And then in the other team, we had the number two pick overall. And, of course, Gronk had the big game against Pittsburgh on the big opening night. And fortunately, Antonio Brown had a late touchdown in that game. And he got within 10 or 12 points of Gronk. And, of course, we're looking at that, and I'm like, okay, well, he's going to take Gronk, right? Well, what about all these stud running backs? Now, what about Antonio Brown? He's very consistent. So we made, I think, a very smart decision of taking Brown, not only to battle the Gronk team in week one, but also that just took us out of all the stud running backs like Jamal Charles, Le'Veon Bell, all those guys that got hurt. And so we kind of, we had our stud in Antonio Brown, and that got us, we avoided the bust in the first round. But the big thing for both these teams was our number two wide receiver for both of the teams. One was Brandon Marshall, and the other one was Allen Robinson. And you could not have a better number two wide receiver for either team. That just, helped us get over the top.
And those teams are sick.
They really are. Yeah, they got the flu big time.
It's one of those teams, Mike, where you drafted your team, and then you look at this year's drafts, and you're like, oh, how can I get a team like this again? They're all going in the top 24 picks.
It's very tough, guys. Obviously, you're not going to be able to get Allen Robinson in round 5 or 6 or Brandon Marshall round 4 because he's a Jet, and you're not sure about Geno Smith getting hurt and Fitzpatrick and all. Now, you know, Brandon Marshall's top 10 wide receiver. You know, he's going to go in the first 2 rounds, maybe even at the end of the first round of the draft here. So you got to come up with alternatives, guys, you know, that have the potential to break out. You know, and surround yourself with a good, solid team. And you know, it is obviously there's a lot of luck here because you need to avoid the injury bug, not having a Jamal Charles, not having a Le'Veon Bell on your team, you know, that gets hurt really does help. Even if you have a guy like C.J. Anderson that struggles, if you pick up a guy like Devonta Freeman later in the draft, you know, you can plug him right in and sit the guy that's struggling and you know, not miss a beat.
So let's go back to Brandon Marshall. He had a career season last year. Fitzpatrick came back to roost, whatever, bulky, whatever you call it.
Yeah,
chicken's coming back to roost.
Yeah, he's coming back to roost.
Who wrote this question?
Well, he's back in the roost. He was you know, at the butcher for a while, but now he's back in the roost.
He's boarded the jet. He's back. He's climbed the ramp and he's boarded the jet. How close do you think Brandon Marshall comes back, comes to last year's production?
I think he's going to come pretty close to it, but a repeat is going to be very tough to do because, you know, Fitz had a career season there, 31 touchdowns. It's going to be very tough to do that. But the bottom line is that you just throw the ball up to Marshall anywhere near him, and he's so tall and he's got such good hands that, you know, he can make the catch. And there were so many times also especially in the latter part of last year where Marshall was kind of dinged and he wouldn't do much in the first half of these games. But, you know, when the Jets needed it, you know, he'd catch 3 or 4 passes down in the fourth quarter, you know, get him in field goal range or whatever, and then boom, you know, catch a touchdown. And all of a sudden, you know, a poor game became, you know, 7-8 catches for 100 yards and a score.
Well, just to follow up real quick on that, I mean, that's the thing about Marshall and some of these players like a Marshall or Fitzgerald, they're like a professional's professional. They come to play every Sunday. And Marshall especially, like you said, he got hurt. Does that impact any of your, you know, drafting decisions versus taking like some, you know, like an Ezekiel Elliott, an unknown rookie? You don't know how hard, you don't know if he's this guy who can come out there in week 10 or 11. And I watched Brett Favre in the Buck interview with, what is it, Undeniable or whatever he called
Undeniable,
it.
That's correct, Dave.
Yes, it was a great, it's a great interview. But, you know, Brett Favre and Iron Man, you just knew that Favre would be out there every week. Does that play anything into your draft, the way you'd rank your guys?
Well, I was listening to you earlier, and I feel the same way about Ezekiel that you do, Dave, and, you know, take him a little bit later than probably just about everyone else is going to. And, you know, he's such a talent, but like you say, you know, hamstring injuries, how do you deal with this? We haven't seen him, you know, in the pros do something like this. And I'm telling you, you know, you want to hit on your first-round pick, at least get a solid guy. Otherwise, you're playing from behind the eight ball, and I'd probably end up not picking them as soon as most of the other people would for that exact reason.
Say this about Brandon Marshall too, Dave. Henry Muto chiming in the chat. Marshall fell to the 303 in his draft tonight.
That's awful. I mean, it's great for Muto.
I can't remember if it was last night or 2 nights ago. Mm-hmm. Marshall, one of the drafts I commissioned, 104.
Holy crap.
Yeah,
that's
so
insane.
Quite the range on Marshall right now.
Wow.
That's
pretty
crazy.
I
want to draft
with,
that
Michael
league
Nasberg
where he drafted 303. Oh, my gosh.
I'm sorry, Mike. Go ahead. What were you talking about with Marshall?
I was just making a comment about that 303 pick, and I want to draft with those guys.
If only, right? It just
yep.
Probably got, you know, in the second round, he probably got, you know, Julio Jones and then Beckham in the first, no doubt. So, yeah, it just happens that way sometimes. Sometimes you get lucky. Sometimes you get a little unlucky. And I'll tell you about unlucky, Mike. That was you and the pros versus Joes last year. You had great success. Out of 72 teams, you finished third overall, but second in your league. So you just missed out on that free main event entry. But still, third overall out of 72 is pretty impressive. You know, you obviously did a lot of great things. You made a lot of right calls in the pros versus Joes last year. When you got done with that 28-round draft experts format, how did you feel about that squad being in competition for the overall title by the end of it?
Well, I felt fairly good about it, but, you know, things like injuries and all you can't control. And, of course, you had to bring up that fact. It does stick in my craw that I finished third overall but didn't win a free mint team since I finished only second in my league. Guys, I think you need to change that rule.
What did you – you know what's funny about that? Sorry to
yeah. –
but, you know, Mike, I was I'm going back to the Olympics. You know, you watch these, like, swimming semifinals and – the top seven guys in one heat could end up being in the final if all their times are ahead of the guys in the other heat, right? And that's the Olympics. So, I know that we're the FFPC. We're pretty well respected in fantasy, but
I bet those are not congruent.
But you know what?
Statements.
Let me ask you one other thing. I'm going to mention one other thing. Alex, one of the things that he says, the word he never uses is the word fair. So don't email him and say it's not fair that you lost because he'll be like, well, what's fair?
What would be a good word to use to get your way with Alex? What have you done in the past?
Here's some, we can make a little more money doing this.
Well, there you go, Mike. We just need to find a way to monetize people who finish in the top three.
There's ways to if you really believe it, maybe sometimes you go as
well. Well, I mean, just looking at that team you drafted, Mike, you felt good about it at the end of the draft. It obviously finished third overall. Tell us a little bit about the injuries that hit you and maybe why that team just came up short.
Well, guys, I'm trying to remember if you can remember, if you could point out a couple of guys that were on the team, you know, because I had three main event teams with you guys. I know Mark Ingram was on that team, wasn't it? Of course, I didn't have any issue with him until he went down late in the season.
Yeah, if you just give me one, I should have been better prepared for this, and I'm not.
Hey, Rob, Rob, don't worry about this.
Listen, this is just
Rob's been hitting
I
the
do.
Sauce during the show again.
I actually have my draft sheets from my two main event teams, so I know exactly who was on my teams there. But you know, I play in like 15 different leagues with all these things, but I do remember there were a couple players that just got hurt like Ingram late in the year, and you know, obviously this is a draft Masters type thing, so we couldn't pick up Tim Hightower, to fill in for Ingram. And when you lose guys like that, it's most likely you're going to suffer at that position.
So Mike, Balky's not going to be able to look it up, but talk to me real quick. Let's talk about the Thursday viewing party. I'm going to totally switch topics now. Is that a good, because you live kind of in the area. I don't want to really say. I won't give out your home address tonight on the show if you don't mind. But
somewhere in the United States, ladies and gentlemen, I'll give it away.
So you fly in there on your private helicopter to our party. And what do you think? It's a good time every time I see you, and I'm always like, "What's up, man? It's great to see you."
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, the it's just electric. Everybody's excited about it. When they have the kickoff hits and everything, and everybody just blows up about it. And in fact, I remember what I think it was a couple of years ago. The Packers were playing in the first one, and the guy sitting in front of me had a cheese head on, and I'm like, dude, I can't see. I can see this guy. So it's like almost like you're there at the stadium, you know, watching the game because it's just the viewing party is just fantastic. I mean, it's you can't beat it.
You know, Mike, I actually was able to pull up your team in the Pros versus Joes last year. And obviously, I mean, you hit on some early round picks. I mean, Julio Jones in the first round. You got Brandon Cooks in the third, Greg Olson in the fourth. I think a standout for you was getting Amari Cooper in the sixth round, and you got Chris Ivory around after that. Obviously, those were really solid picks. And going down the list, I mean, I'm not seeing a whole lot of standout players, but I'm seeing a lot of solid guys that ended up, having a pretty successful year. You drafted three kickers. You had three defenses on this team.
Smart.
I mean, this is just solid all the way around. Matt Ryan and Carson Palmer in the 13th as a quarterback right here, 10, team 10.
That's what
right
what you want are guys like that. Obviously, if you hit on a guy like Devonta Freeman, he's going to blow up and all, but he can't do it every single week, not every single week, and he did it for 4 weeks in a row with multiple touchdowns and all. But if you got guys like that have good years, usually when one or two and you've got enough depth don't have a good week, there's another one that steps up and produces, and so you're constantly getting the 15, 20, 25 point games, you know, for most of your receivers or running backs. And then, of course, you know, Carson Palmer. I mean, I had him as a backup all the way across the board, and in one of the leagues we had Carson Palmer and Aaron Rodgers. In the last half of the season, I was playing Carson Palmer over Aaron Rodgers every week, and it was, you know, helping us win money. So, you know, when you're that deep like that and you're getting that kind of performance, it really can be the springboard to get you up up there in points.
So let's talk a little bit about Mark Ingram. You had him on your Castlevania squad. You took him in Pros versus Joes. And, you know, you run a premium content site, so we don't want you to give away all the information. But how about a little bit of a tease here? Do you
or give away some of the information. And we're fine with that.
Give away like 20, 30 cents of the information.
Yeah, 20 to 30% I think is
not
a solid.
Cents, not percent.
Oh, cents worth?
Like, yeah, it's like a 1%.
I was thinking on the dollar, but you're talking about like the entire like premium
of
content subscription.
Yeah.
I got it. Okay.
That's what give away Ingram. Ingram's worth like 20 to 30 cents. Ingram, do you think he's going to be top five back, or you think he's still got that injury bug that might hit him again?
No, I think he is definitely a top five back, and my 20 cents here is he is number five on my list on PPR. He catches a lot of passes. As you could saw, I was watching the game last night, the Saints and the Patriots, and he did have a fumble in it, but you know, he ended up scoring twice right in near the goal there against the Patriots. You know, as long as he can stay healthy, and you know that you can't forecast that, but I'm never going to forecast an injury. He looked good enough early on last year that, you know, that he is going to be a top five back if he could just stay healthy the whole year. And I like him. So I certainly will not shy away from drafting him at the opportunity. And right now, I think in FFPC format, isn't he sliding into the second round there, mid to late second round? So, you know,
yeah.
He might be mine again. We'll see.
Yeah, I think I've seen him go in the early third still yet too. I think that there's definitely a possibility of you nabbing him in the main event. And Mike, I want to talk about Pros versus Joes. Not we're talking with Mike Nazarek from FFMastermind.com. Follow him on Twitter at FFMastermind. We're talking, I mean, sort of basically classic drafts at this point, 20 rounders. There's not a whole lot of best balls that are being drafted right now. I think that, you know, with the FFPC, we're seeing more of our stuff shift to classics rather than, I mean, we're still doing DEs, we're still filling them, but I think that we're doing, the ratio is higher for classics right now.
Yeah, you're wrong.
I'm commissioning these. I know you're putting them together, but whatever. No comment. Except for that comment.
The full draft.
So, Mike, the advice I want to ask from you here applies to your Pros versus Joes team because you drafted two tight ends this year early. You had two of them, Julius Thomas, Antonio Gates, by the end of the seventh round. And I feel like not just in DEs but also classics like the main event, the Football Guys Players Championship, the teams that I seem to like are the teams that do have two tight ends by the end of the seventh, by the end of the eighth, or even the ninth in some cases. Talk a little bit about how much grabbing two tight ends and getting two tight ends in your roster at that point played into your pre-draft strategy?
Well, you know, I tell you, I've seen over the years, early on, I didn't think tight ends actually were that valuable, even with the 1.5 PPR in the FFPC. And that's, I didn't cash any money in the first 3 years of playing this. And I said, wait a minute, something's got to change here. But seriously, over the last 3 years, really targeted getting quality tight ends early. And it's just by doing the research and looking at things, really, if you're going to get two elite guys, you know, and that could possibly both be top five, six, seven guys, definitely top 10 guys, you know, you have to grab them by the seventh round. You know, specifically I targeted Gates in the seventh, knowing that he would produce well after suspension last year. And of course I had Julius Thomas. He came around once he was healthy. You know, obviously if he'd played a full year, you know, it might have won the league actually in the Pros versus Joes and all. But you know, that I don't think has changed much for me this year. I still like Gates. I see him sliding in a lot of drafts. You know, he might be on his last year and all, but you know, he's only 8 touchdowns away from that record, you know, that Tony Gonzalez had, and they want him to get that. I already, without even looking at knowing that, I already forecasted him for 7, so I bumped him up to 8, you know, put him in the top 10. Obviously, there is an injury risk there, but That's why you draft a guy like Hunter Henry late as the number three, you know, in case Gates goes down. Like last year with Ladarius Green, of course, he got injured, and now, you know, he might be forced to retire. But Hunter Henry is a pretty good backup to Gates there as the number three, and you can get him late. I like having a combination of two good tight ends early in the draft.
Interesting combo, Balky.
Yeah, Gates and Henry makes a lot of sense. I'm actually starting to like Gates. I like the fact that Rivers has gone out and said that he wants to get that record for Gates, that, you know, getting that record of the most touchdowns by a tight end. All plays good for really Gates and Rivers this year. And I'm a Keenan Allen guy, so obviously I think that just means good things in the Chargers passing offense.
Totally agree. All right, so Mike, we're going to talk a little bit about these late first, early second round receivers. You have Dez Bryant, his ADP is the 109. Alshon Jeffrey at the 208. He's a little bit later. And Jordy Nelson's right in between him at the 206, leaning a little closer to Jeffrey. These guys all have injury questions. Who scares you the most out of between Dez Bryant, Alshon Jeffrey, and Jordy Nelson?
Oh, Alshon Jeffrey, no doubt. And it's because he gets too many soft tissue injuries, you know, like the hamstring and all, to trust essentially as your number one wide receiver. And yet, players are drafting him as a number one. And that's one guy that, I mean, I will draft him if I have to, if he slides and all. But, at this point, you know, I would rather have Dez Bryant or Jordy Nelson, you know, coming off the knee rather than Alshon Jeffrey, because too many times, how many times have we seen where Alshon Jeffrey's, no bad words about him in all week, all practice, and then all of a sudden something happens on Friday, or maybe even a warm-up, over the weekend or the pregame warm-up, something happens, you know, and then they scratch him at the last minute. That's happened more than once, and I just don't like that. Not coming out of one of my key wide receivers on my team.
You know, I got to tell you, Mike, if I lived in the Pacific time zone, like where you live, you know, like
West. Allegedly, Mike lives in the Pacific time zone.
Oh, you know, west a little bit.
Or east.
I would.
Or north.
I would never draft. See, this is in the Area 51 up in here. I wouldn't draft Jeffrey because it's like you got to make sure you're up at you got to get up at the crack of dawn.
Oh,
you know,
my God. You imagine
games start at 9 a.m.
The amount of coffee that you have to go through if you're in the West Coast and you own Alshon Jeffrey.
10 a.m., I guess. So, but nevertheless.
Even still, you're obviously partying out the night before.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So
you're in whatever part of the world.
Yeah.
Over there.
Happens to have some parties in that part of nape of the way.
All right, so my question, I don't have a question. That was just a comment.
Okay, well, perfect. I'm glad that you did that. We're talking with Mike Nazar from FFMastermind.com. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Mike about Zero RB and how the fantasy landscape has changed so much as long as Mike has been in the industry, 3 decades worth. It's the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour. Rolls on right after this. From FFMastermind.com, it is Michael Nazarick joining the HSFF Hour tonight with Eric Balkman and the Dizzle Dave Gerzak. Mike, to get somebody with your experience, not just playing fantasy football, but really within the industry, FF Mastermind, in business now for 20 years, you have a decade plus of playing fantasy football. Besides that, it's safe to say you're an old school guy. I mean, that's when you came up in the industry. Now Zero RB has really become a viable strategy the last few years. And this year, I would say more than ever, I've seen it being used in Football Guys Players Championships and FFPC sats. How do you fall in with ignoring running back early in drafts when you really came up in a time and when drafting two running backs was not only the successful way to draft, taking two running backs in the first two rounds, but really like, you were stupid if you didn't do it. Like, there was no way to succeed
right.
Unless you took two running backs right away. How do you what's your sort of your reaction to the Zero RB strategy in 2016?
It's a shock to the system because I was one of the first people to write about stud running back theory back in the mid-90s, and we've come full circle now where people actually on purposely don't draft any running backs till round 5, 6, 7. And I'm still trying to get used to it. It's probably one reason why I don't think I'll ever do zero running back. But that doesn't mean that I'm not going to draft a wide receiver first, obviously with Antonio Brown. I've drafted Gronk several times here in the last couple of years first. I've taken tight end, wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver, and all. But usually there is a lead stud that just slides a little bit, a running back. and by the third or fourth round, I'll grab one. And I've been also been known to draft just one running back in the first four or five rounds and all. But it's very, very tough. I tell you, I understand why they're doing it all, but they're risking a lot, I think, on part-time players or players that have a certain role, like Danny Woodhead. I love Danny Woodhead and all, but he's not part of the basic San Diego Chargers offense, and you got to be careful there because they're going to be games this year. If they're all healthy, they're going to be in, and he's not going to see much action, especially if Melvin Gordon gets off his butt and does something. And then what are you going to do with your 3 or 4 points you get from Danny Woodhead every week in the system if you go zero running back? So, I'll happily take one of the two value picks in the second or third or fourth round of the running backs to slide, if there's multiple teams on the board and I've seen this, going zero running back.
Well, and Mike, let me ask you this too. Did you ever think you would live in a world where people would be, plunking down $350 for a team or, $1,800 for a team or whatever, and then having their number one running back be Danny Woodhead, like a player like Danny Woodhead? I mean, this is like the foundation of your backfield. Oh, my team's killer, dude. Julio Jones and Alshon Jeffrey and Randall Cobb and Travis Kelce. And, oh, yeah, who's your number one running back?
Cam. I got Cam.
Yeah, Cam Newton. Who's your number one running back? Oh, it's Danny Woodhead.
Woodhead.
Like, I mean, how and I've seen it this year. I mean, how bizarre is it for you?
I got Bilal Powell.
Yeah, Bilal Powell is my number two. My number three
bizarre.
Is Larry Centers. I have my number four is Reggie Cobb. It's so bizarre. I mean, to see teams do this, Mike,
what the hell is going on, Mike?
It's got to be something that you are not comfortable with.
Yeah, I'm definitely not comfortable with it because I can't even talk about it. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
$350 is one thing, but $1,800 and your number one running back is Danny Woodhead. What about Theo Riddick? I've seen people with Theo Riddick as their number one and Bilal Powell, like you say, just timeshare guys. It's crazy. I just don't think I'll ever do that. I think the least you're going to see me is with one very good running back, and then maybe some guys like Danny Woodhead, behind. And it's only if I'm totally stacked at wide receiver, tight end, and quarterback.
Well, it makes a lot of sense, Mike. We're running out of time here, but I do want to get to at least one email here tonight. There was one good one that came in, and I'll ask it here. It is from John in Bakersfield, California. He writes, can you tell me where you have David Johnson ranked in PPR leagues this year and whether you believe he makes a good mid-first-round selection? Thank you for the email, John, in Bakersfield, California. Mike, I think as far as rankings go for running backs, I don't know how high you have David Johnson going. I can tell you his ADP right now in Football Guys drafts is the 109. I've seen him go as high as the 102, obviously, with the Pros versus Joes. We saw him go at the 102 twice. So he's kind of all over the first round. What's your opinion of David Johnson this year, and would you take him in the mid-first?
I like him. I like him, but obviously, Chris Johnson's there, so is Andre Ellington. But I still have him very right up at the top, but it's very, very close. And depending on the system here, he's not my number one guy in the non-PPR, but in the PPR, he still technically is. Would I feel comfortable taking him in the middle? I tell you, that's a good question. Maybe I have to think about it. It's just simply because there's rumors talking that he's going to start, but he didn't want to overwork him there. Also, he's only had not even one half a good season, but he's very, very extremely talented. I think he's going to do okay this year. It's just that usually with my first round pick, I like to go a little bit safer and get a guy, that I know is going to perform if he's healthy. There's just, a lot. There's upside with David Johnson, but there's some downside there too.
All right, Mike, one of the most important questions we ask him, even more so because you're a super awesome guy.
Won $10,000 in the FFPC last year.
Might even call you a mastermind.
Yeah.
Fantasy football.
I'd say he's at that level.
Please name one player that you are going to have on as many teams as possible this year, and one player you will avoid at all costs.
Well, maybe we've already talked about these guys. it seems like Antonio Gates just keeps gravitating to me, and not as a starter, but as a number two, not only in the FFPC and all, but I've got him on a couple other expert leagues drafts. And once again, Mr. Jeffrey, I'm not looking to draft him. He seems to be going sooner than I'd even consider him, and I don't anticipate, drafting him.
No to Jeffrey and yes to Gates.
And I would agree on both, for sure.
Of course you would, Balky.
I'm a Kevin White guy this year, so I'm sticking away, staying away from Alshon Jeffrey. Hey, Mike, we're going to let you get out of here, but before you do, let's talk a little bit about FFMastermind.com. Tell the listeners what subscribers can expect to see from your premium content service once again here in 2016.
I subscribe, by the way.
Well, yes, Dave, you do, and it's much appreciated. And, of course, you can expect to win your league with my services, right? All right, seriously.
As a licensed game operator, I can no longer play fantasy sports.
There you go.
True.
There you go.
Do it for fun.
Let me just say this real quick. So I was on the Fantasy Alarm today with Jeff Manns and Ted Schuster.
Yeah.
And Kurt Kikas, FFPC player, texted me after my interview on there, and he said, because I was giving content and strategy, and he's like, I didn't even know you knew anything. And I said, listen, I just get what you guys tell me on the show, and I regurgitate it out. That's all I do. Now, Mike Nazarek actually comes up with this stuff. He researches it.
Right.
He knows what he's doing. Mike, tell us what else is on FFMastermind.com this year that is going to help people win their league.
Well, we've been online now for 21 years, so I think I know maybe a little bit about what I do in order to produce a top-notch product that's going to help both the novice and the professional player win. I'm not flaky with my picks, and we offer specific sleepers to target and certain times of the draft and specific creepers to avoid. My wife can attest to this. I work 16-hour days between now and Christmas. We make a decent living on the site, don't have tens of thousands of subscribers, but we get a few thousand, meaning I have the time to give personal advice individually to premium subscribers on a one-on-one basis, either via email or even by phone call, and I am, of course, old school, but that doesn't mean I'm set in my ways. I've adjusted the scoring rules of the leagues I play in, and I'm not hardwired to think in any one method, like perhaps I was in the 90s with stud running back. But anyway, I invite everyone to listening to visit us at FFMastermind.com to see our proven track record. Not to toot my own horn, but, of course, I've won more than $20,000 in the FFPC over the last 3 years. I love playing the game. I think that counts for something, right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And anybody who is –
I love the creepers. I don't like the good guys. I want the creepers,
right,
Balky.
Exactly. In your personal life too, which I've noticed.
Well, I kind of am a creeper. I go to the mall, and I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, I don't think you're legally allowed to talk about it anymore. If I remember the
actually, I have to say
court order.
200 feet from the mall, actually.
One thing I want to say about Mike is if you are concerned that he is set in his ways, that he is can adjust. $10,000 last year in the FFPC he won. So he clearly knows what he's doing. He clearly can roll with the punches, and he is a good co-pilot for you in your fantasy season. The FF Mastermind podcast comes out every Tuesday. You can download that right on iTunes. Also, the FF Mastermind QuickBits app is free in the App Store. That is run by FF Mastermind, a very great content news aggregator app that you should have on your smartphone. And follow Mike on Twitter at FF Mastermind. FFMastermind.com, the definitive fantasy football information service. That's FFMastermind.com. Mike, we kept you a little bit long tonight. I want to thank you for coming on, and we are going to see you in Vegas. Good luck in all your leagues this year, man.
Thanks, guys. Listen, I got one more thing, if I can.
Go ahead, yeah.
Well, I want to mention to everyone, of course, that our top premium package is our Super Bowl premium package. It retails right now at $55.95 and includes draft guide, ranking software, injury reports, weekly and season newsletters, and much more. Well, for the next week, if you come to our site and use the discount code, get a load of this, FFPC, and you order the Super Bowl package, you're going to save more than 10%, reducing your cost down to below $50 to $49.95. So we welcome everyone to the site and urge you to try us out for the season at a discount. And hopefully you'll be pleased with what you find behind the locked premium walls.
Hey, you know what, Mike, as long as you said one more thing, I got one more thing too. I want to personally thank you and verbally thank you for the work that you did for the small businesses of Fantasy Sports Trade Association when you went in front of the Gaming Council in Las Vegas and sort of it educated those legislators and informed them of the difference between small and big,
yes.
The difference between daily and season long. We really appreciate that, man. You did a fantastic job.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Cannot thank you enough for that. So thank you so much.
It was my pleasure, guys. It's very important that people know the difference between daily and season long, and we need to get the laws written accordingly.
Indeed we will. Mike, we're going to change the world when we meet up in Vegas over a couple of drinks.
Long Island Ice Cube, baby.
See you
thanks,
then.
Mike. We'll talk to you again soon.
Take care.
That was Michael Nazarek from FFMastermind.com. Great guy. You know what? People always say, like, oh, you know, he's a great fantasy analyst and an even better person. Well, let me tell you how good of an analyst Mike Nazarek is. He's an awesome person, but he's an even better fantasy football analyst. So check it out, ffmastermind.com.
Well, you know, I look at Mike's site, and it's not one of the most fancy schmancy sites, right?
Well, there's time for that. Look at our website. It's a train wreck.
But I mean, I was just saying, well, I agree with you there. By the way, the WordPress part of the site was down today for like an hour and a half. Mike's site wasn't down.
Audio engineer Bryce wants to talk to you about that. He's got some ideas.
Oh, great. He's more crap from Bryce. I'm just saying, you can tell that he works on the content itself. So I'm actually a pretty happy subscriber. I enjoy it. The creepers are good. The good guys. It's the creepers and something else. The good players, the guys you really like.
Creepers, sleepers,
yeah,
picks to click, picks to flick.
I swear to God, always in Kentucky when we're going down there, I'll be – checking out my internet, and I'll have the site on. I'll have the live internet Verizon card.
Right.
I'll be like, hey, Nazarek thinks this, or, you know, this or that.
Right.
So I always am popping off with different thoughts.
He does, actually. Mike Nazarek comes up a lot on our trip from Appleton, Wisconsin to Louisville, Kentucky, and I'm sure he will again this year. Hey, and I'm sure we're going to come back right after this with Jay Berg from ProtoBlock. I'm going to tell you how to win an FFPC main event entry coming up right after this. Welcome back to the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour. I'm Eric Balkman. He's Dave Gerzak. I want to bring in our second guest tonight. You've seen him draft in the Pros versus Joes and the Football Guys Players Championship live on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour in the past. You've heard his voice on our show. I want to say Jay's probably been on the show like three or four times. Tonight, he actually joins us to tell us about his newest venture, ProtoBlock, and how you can win a 2016 FFPC main event entry as well. Joining us to help answer your emails, your fantasy questions, please welcome into the show at JBNY on Twitter, Jay Berg. Jay, welcome back to the show, man.
Hello, Eric. Hello.
It is good to hear your voice. Are we coming through to you?
Oh, shit. Oh, sorry.
Jay, stop smoking the pot.
No, he's not smoking the pot. I'm sure this is a blog talk radio.
The Bluetooth was off. I was talking to my headset, but you were listening to the phone. But hi, Dave, you're back.
Don't worry. You know, you go to like CNN and they're talking to somebody in like Beirut and they're like, hey, Jim, how's it going? And like 10 seconds later, he's like, oh, good. And then I ask another question. It's like, you know, talking to people on Mars and the Martian.
Yeah, well, at least, the delay here is not as bad. But Jay, it's always good to hear your voice. Good to have you back on the show. And without further ado, let's just get into some of the emails that we got this week when your appearance was announced. This one came in before we announced your appearance, but Jay, you can help us answer it anyway. It's from Drew in Schaumburg, Illinois. He writes, Dear Captain Boomerang and Killer Croc, I know you guys have discussed this before, but how far can Marvin Jones climb before he stops being a value? And how far can Golden Tate drop before I start to have before I have to start drafting him? Thank you for the email. Drew in Schaumburg, Illinois. Jay, what's your opinion? Marvin Jones versus Golden Tate this year.
So, I mean, I still say very simple. Who would you rather have, Marvin Jones or Golden Tate? And until you say Jones, you just continue drafting Tate. And don't worry about, you know, if Jones is there and in the ninth, you take him. If he's going in six, I'd rather have Tate.
You know, that's interesting because it's like, you know, all the word out of camp is, you know, you hear this stuff about how great Marvin Jones is. But when you look at the real proven production, it's Tate by, you know, like a long shot, by
right.
a mile.
Yeah, no, it is. And think about, too, with Marvin Jones, this is a team that let him go in Cincinnati, a team that needed receivers, a team that is either starting Brandon LaFell or like a rookie, Tyler Boyd, opposite A.J. Green. They let him go. So I think that was interesting, too. And you know what else I was thinking this week? You know, I don't know if you saw this, Dave, but...
Nope, I missed it.
No, you might have not missed it. The Football Guys daily email, they put out sort of contradictory stories on Golden Tate dropping passes or not dropping passes, Marvin Jones looking really good and Marvin Jones not looking good. And you know what I was thinking? Because then Joe Bryant from Football Guys sent out a sort of like a I'm sorry email or like a correction
email.
Lord,
we don't even know our ass from the hole in the ground.
Well, you know what I was thinking is like all these people who are super on Marvin Jones was like, don't bring more attention to Marvin Jones. We don't need this extra email. So these people are probably ticked that his – and I would say, like, as far as ADP goes, I mean, they're still quite a ways away.
Well, ADP is average, and that means it's over a time period of history. So, you know, it's not current.
It's tightening up a little bit right now. Golden Tate, 401, Marvin Jones at the 808. But I've seen Tate go a little bit later, and I've seen Marvin Jones go earlier.
One of the things that we're coming out with is a live future ADP. So – you'll be able to see the ticks of Marvin Jones go up immediately and Golden Tate go down immediately as soon as the news breaks. You won't have to wait like weeks for the data to come out. That's one of our special ticker feeds.
Well, talk to us more about ProtoBlock. I think it's such an interesting concept.
Yeah,
by the way, ProtoBlock, a pre-revenue company, I'm just going to put it out there. You guys donated, should I say how much it was or not really?
Don't say how much it was, but just say it was very
generous, and we were all very excited.
Let's just say you donated $3,500 more than the NFFC has donated. So that's all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah, so I'll say this. I'll say it before
you.
But
in your pre-revenue company, for Christ's sake.
Hold on. Before you get into the ProtoBlock discussion, listen. A lot of people, a lot of players at the FFPC play other contests. I want to just go out and say thank you to Scout Fantasy. Thank you to RT Sports.
Yep.
Thank you to the FFPC.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
We don't play FFPC.
There might be another high-stakes company out there that really may not care if they try to offer you any games in the future. We care about that, which is why the FFPC has donated.
No matter whether it's football or – you're the only one who offers baseball in the whole country.
Yeah, and maybe I guess if that goes away, they don't care so much, apparently.
Who gives a crap?
Right, exactly.
Maybe
anyway.
If you lose your home state, you know, because we couldn't lobby there, well, whatever.
Yeah, it's okay by them.
Go ahead.
Jay, talk a little bit about ProtoBlock.
I just want to say I play SFPC because it's the best format, not because it's the greatest people there. That's all.
That's true.
I mean, that's because it's legitimate. I mean, it's legit fantasy football. It really doesn't matter, you know, who's behind it. Really, let's go right to, like, Mike Nazareth. I mean, the whole purpose for us being is we're saying that it's a $70 billion industry on the shoulders of people like Mike. And just like Tiger Woods and Barry Sanders are multimillionaire celebrities, so should Mike and everyone else that, you know, the top of this industry. And, you know, the reason why it's hard to earn big bucks in fantasy is because of the laws and the rules and regulations that make, you know, only use a certain percentage of your skill. So basically we have a coin. We basically have a system that identifies fantasy football players. You know, someone who knows about Stefon Diggs or could, you know, keep track of who's the starting quarterbacks and stuff like that, they get these crypto tokens, and, you know, that's kind of proof that you're a fantasy player. And then now you have these, you got them for free, and now you could start doing all the different things that you always wanted to do with fantasy, like make money on bus or, you know, use all the other skills. And once you start doing that and people start using it, then, you know, it becomes legitimate. And so, for example, one of the things I could say to you is, like, anyone who makes – so these are fake coins. Anyone who makes, like, 1,000 coins in the first 2 weeks, we'll give them a free subscription to Mike Nazareth, you know, just to show that these things are really high value.
It makes a lot of sense. And we're going to talk a little bit more about ProtoBlock too in a little bit. But as long as we're going to have Jay on, go to protoblock.com. Check that out right now while we talk to Jay. This is an interesting email that came in, Jay, and I'm very curious to hear your answer on this. This is from Gerald in Browns Mills, New Jersey. I've heard a lot of guests on this show say they prefer to take the best player available strategy. In this year of zero RB, won't that just get you a ton of running backs? And he uses this word, poppycock, at wide receiver. Thanks, guys. That's Gerald in Browns Mills, New Jersey.
Underutilized word, poppycock.
Yeah, it totally is. Jay, your opinion on best player available getting you a lot of running backs in drafts this year?
I mean, when I first started drafting this year, I started taking running back after running back, but best player available, you'll definitely have, next thing you'll see is, Devonta Freeman in the second round, and then you'll have Jamal Charles in the third round. You'll even maybe have Ingram in the fourth round. I mean, that's like four number one running backs, I don't like drafting for value personally, but even so, drafting who you like, I still found myself with a lot of running backs. And until you actually really study the zero RB and understand, I'm okay with taking the four of the top 20 running backs. So it's a danger, but I don't like value based drafting. That's my real answer.
Well, and I'll say this too about zero RB. And Dave, this is what I was referring to with this email at the top of the show. You had Anthony Amico, who actually drafted in the Pros versus Joes, who's been a big proponent of. Well, I'll say this: two of the industry guys that have seen that have been the biggest like detractors of zero RB were Anthony Amico from RotoViz and Jared Smola from Draft Sharks. And those guys both came out with articles this week. Smola's actually just came out today about how he was in an industry draft and ended up with a ton of running backs. And even he felt like he kind of took this a little bit too far with best player available with all the running backs he ended up with. Anthony Amico was also saying the same thing. Like, look, I said robust running back was the way to go. Maybe I was wrong in that too. So even these guys who have been big proponents of taking a lot of running backs early have taken a step back. Now, a lot of those guys, these articles that they're writing, they're talking about non-FFPC formats. Like Jay said, if you take four top running backs, you can start them every week in the FFPC. I mean, you only have to start two receivers.
Can you?
So, yes, that's the way that you and Alex set it up.
Oh.
So I think that it does make a little bit more sense in the FFPC. Dave, your philosophy as far as best player available goes, would you be nervous about doing that knowing that you're probably going to end up with a lot of early round running backs?
I'd follow the flow of the draft and just my own personal draft board. I don't get too caught up in it. If I have a choice, I prefer to have a balanced draft. So I'd like to have a running back and a receiver in the first rounds, because then I can do whatever I want in the third round.
You can pick up on the value.
Yeah, in the fifth round.
You're flexible that way.
It's not just value. I'm kind of acrobatic a little bit.
Yeah, you are acrobatic. Like Simone Biles. As it were.
Biles.
Simone Biles. I don't know why I always say Biles. You're good. Go ahead, Jay.
Oh, so I did one Football Guys Championship draft, and I went zero RB. And I had to, really, really, really stick to my plan. Like, I let Devonta Freeman go at the 302, or maybe the 303. I took, Tyler Lockett over him, and then, I took – six, seven, you have to actually have a plan, know exactly what you're doing. You can't just go in zero RB. You'll end up with Shane Vereen.
Sugar Shane.
Well, okay, speaking of zero RB, one of the most popular zero RB running backs this year is a guy who's been going post-fifth round. Usually you see him in the sixth and seventh round, and that's Matt Jones. This is an email from Chad in Winter Park, Florida. Are we assuming Matt Jones is going to be capable of everything this year and highly undervaluing Dave's boy, Keith Marshall, in the process? Jay, I think you have a strong opinion on Keith Marshall. What's your take on Keith Marshall as the backup running back in Washington this year?
You say Keith Hernandez, first baseman?
We didn't say Aaron Hernandez.
No, I mean, that's okay. He had a good maybe first game. I've never drafted Keith Marshall. Jones is a good player. I've never drafted him either. I haven't really drafted a lot of besides Reed, a lot of Washington Redskins, but can't say no much about him.
No skinnies.
Dave, you might be a little bit biased when it comes to Keith Marshall, because I know you liked him before, you know, the NFL draft, you know, his speed and everything else.
Yep.
What's your opinion of Keith Marshall? I mean, is he being undervalued in draft? I mean, he's going super late.
I think he is, actually. I mean, when you look at Matt Jones, he was not an uber-talented player. They considered him overdrafting the third round last year. And then Marshall is, this pedigreed player who just had a rough go of it and had a lot of injuries. There's a chance he supplants him. And you know, it's funny, maybe not right away, but Marshall, there was some word early on. I kind of got off Marshall for like a little bit because there was word that he was sucking for whatever. You know, there's like one blurb, one article.
This was post-draft?
Post-draft. Okay. Like, oh, Marshall, whatever, may not even make the team. Like some.
Oh,
some,
yeah, yeah, I know what you're talking
some
about.
Some beat
yeah.
writers said that.
Yeah.
But then, like, now that you're in camp, you're hearing it and you can see the speed. And I'm sure, you know, like, it's funny because you see a guy runs a 4.3 140. And then you see Matt Jones, he's running like a 4.6, 4.7.
Right.
It's got to be visibly evident. But yeah. That doesn't mean that Jones might keep the job. He might be great. Who knows? But that's definitely a risk worth taking. Take that flyer.
Jay, I think this is a question that a lot of listeners have wanted to ask of you. This is from Matt in Atlanta, Georgia. Hello, Eric, Dave, and Jay. I seem to remember Jay talking up Devontae Freeman on this show last year as a guy who is going to blow up. Now that he's going to be on the show this week, can you tell us who this year's version will be? Great show. Thank you for the email, Matt in Atlanta, Georgia. Yeah, Jay, you said last year before the season that Devontae Freeman was going to have a big year. We're trying to figure out who this year's Devontae Freeman is. In your opinion, who is this year's Devontae Freeman?
Yes, so Devontae Freeman has really changed my entire outlook on fantasy. I've been obsessed with him for over a year. So my first draft of the entire season last year, I was without before any research. I was in the third round, and so it was like on the clock, and I didn't know what to do. So I just said, "Okay, who's gone from the year before, and who has a starting job?" And it was Steven Jackson and Devonta Freeman, and I drafted him in the third round, and that was the last time I drafted him. The entire draft, all the way through the main event, because of his ADP and all the experts. I mean, nothing against the experts. It's just so. I've been trying to say this. Somebody who has been in the NFL for a year and now has a starting job, it doesn't matter if he's, like, not the starter. If he's the starter on paper and he's been a year in the league and he knows the blocking schemes, and those are the signatures of Devonta Freeman. I was looking at Jay Ajayi all summer waiting for this moment, and, of course, now that Foster's on the team. It's not Jay Ajayi. I don't know. I still say that Devonta Freeman has been the best player for over a year now, and he just gets no love at all. If you are going to draft the running back in the first or second round, I don't see why he's not going in the first round. I mean, if this was 1999, he'd be going top three, right? You're going
yep.
103. So Devonta Freeman is like a 103 if you think back to, you know, Adrian Peterson type of picks. I mean, he's maybe continue being the top running back 2 years in a row, maybe 3 years in a row. Maybe he'll become the next, you know, star of fantasy. There's no reason to say he's not. He's proven everyone wrong every single time. So, yeah, I say Devonta Freeman maybe this year is Devonta Freeman.
There you go. I like it. I mean, you take a look at it. Devonta Freeman, sort of a throwback, given all the touches, given all the catches, Dave, which can't be underrated. So Devonta Freeman, obviously not going as late as he was last year, but still could be a value in the second round.
Well, here's the decision people have to make. Is the coaches say, we're looking kind of for a split, and Coleman was this second round, was he a second round draft pick? You know, he's drafted fairly
third,
early.
Third round, okay. Yeah.
And then there's the other side of it, which might just be that Coleman just sucks.
Could be, yeah.
He might not be that good. He might just be, he's a speed guy. He might just be a straight line speed guy and he gets hurt all the time. And like you said, it just might be the fact that Coleman comes right back and everybody's letting him go to the, first part of the third round. You're like, what was I thinking? Why am I letting this Antonio Brown owner get, you know, give Coleman. It's just a big mistake.
Yeah, it could be. I'll tell you what's not a big mistake. Going to protoblock.com, downloading the software there. Jay, you can obviously go to protoblock.com right now. You can click on raffle on the website. Tell the listeners a little bit about what they need to do to be entered in a raffle for a 2016 FFPC main event team.
Right, so since what we're doing is so overly complicated, we figured we have a little game to show how it works. So there's three steps in the raffle. You download an app, you sign up, and then you do a tweet with the same name that you signed up, and then you're automatically entered in the raffle. And the way the raffle gets – the winner gets chosen, it's gets chosen deterministically. That means that it's whatever the – there's a formula that everyone could do on their own at home based on the information, and they could decide who's the winner. It's based on the third preseason game. So we're using the quarterbacks and preseason week three results to draw the winner of this raffle. Expected value is about $85 and maybe $60, depending on how you think it showed up. So, yeah, blog.protoblog.com, three steps, sign up for the raffle. You'll get a free entry to the main event, and then you'll also be a Protoblog player.
And Jay, if somebody is if their Twitter name is different than their sign up name, can the name they sign up under, can they send you an email to let you know that?
No, yeah, there's a formula. You just do you just put your name, your Protoblog name, and at Protoblog, and then you have. So the trick is that we have a Twitter account and a Protoblog account, and they both are verified to be the same one and the other. But yes, you have to have a Twitter account. If you don't have a Twitter account, you could email me. The only thing is, you must be a fantasy football player. You have to prove that you're a fantasy football player, which is not that hard.
If you don't have a Twitter account, just, you know, shoot yourself now. For
and if you're listening to this podcast and you're not a fantasy football player, what the hell are you doing? Seriously.
Go click on that gardening podcast you meant to go to.
Exactly. Hey, Jay, good stuff tonight. I want to thank you for answering these emails. I want to thank you for telling the listeners about Protoblock. Go to protoblock.com. Sign up for that raffle. Get entered for that 2016 main event entry. Try out Protoblock and follow all the updates on Twitter, at Protoblock. And, of course, you can follow Jay on Twitter as well, at JBNY. Thanks a lot, man, for hanging out with us tonight. We're going to see you in a little bit in Vegas, man. Good luck this season. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your time, everyone.
Thanks.
Jay Berg, ladies and gentlemen. Good guy, better fantasy football player. But
hey,
seriously,
he is a
great guy. That is going to do it for our show, ladies and gentlemen.
It's over.
That's it.
There's time left on the thing over there.
I know, but that's I'm going to have to talk to you about how that works after the show.
All right, I don't understand.
Okay, well, I know you don't understand, but you know what, Dave? You're the face of the podcast. You're the pretty boy. You don't have to understand how the clicks and whistles work.
I'm going to go lobby.
I want to thank Michael Nazarek and Jay Berg tonight. Of course, Michael Nazarek at FF Mastermind on Twitter, Jay Berg at JBNY. Check out FFMastermind.com. Check out Protoblock.com. All goodness that you can spend the rest of your Friday night doing. I am going to go home, and I'm going to commish the Midnight Football Guys draft, which I'm assuming is filled.
Unfortunately, for anyone who wants to play, yes, it's full.
Too bad.
Good for you, Balky.
Good for me. I get to watch the Masters tonight, see where Golden Tate is going, see where Marvin Jones is going. I also want to thank the FFPC. I want to thank our audio engineer, Bryce, or excuse me, our audio engineer, audio engineer Bryce, our producer, mutual friend, Rob, and of course you for hanging out and listening. I will be back next Friday with our Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship preview show.
Bunches and bunches, punches thrown into your frontless, oodles and noodles, bang bullets that suck of noodles, last album voodoo, prove that we fucking brutal, I'm talking crazy, half past the clock is cuckoo, you rap a shoe, baby, just take your boo-boo, I'm talking food, man.
Broadcast live and heard around the world, you are now listening to the most...
I totally biffed that, Dave. We're going to take two on the outro.
What happened?
Yeah, we hit the wrong button. So, in the biz...
blah, 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 all the crap that he said before.
Yeah, in the biz, so this will be edited out, but I'll just say this. go to myffpc.com. Check out all the Football Guys Players Championship drafts. I'm obviously in midseason form. I'm way too frazzled and stressed to be doing a radio podcast, but I'm going to do the Kentucky Fantasy Preview Show next week. Your weekend starts now.
This has been another episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com that was broadcast live and heard around the world. Eric and Dave will be back next week with more analysis, interviews, and advice from a guest much smarter than they are. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk with you again next week.
I gotta go cause I got me a drop top, and if I hit the switch, I can make the ass drop. Had to stop at a red light, looking in my mirror, not a jacker in
sight. I think beards are fine, but if you have gray hair, just minimize, keep it short and keep it tight, and then you look distinguished. You just look like a dipshit.
All right, well, try not to swear.
A gyp.
Unlike Ice Cube, today was not a good day.
Whatever.